Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this very auspicious day. It is a Tuesday. It is, I think, the 7th or the 8th of May, but we did a very, very significant pre-show. In our pre-show, we talked to our backstage pass members and any and all people that were visiting from around the world, and we were taking questions and answering questions, and it's been our very, very great as you know, just our great and our heartfelt and our very warm and beloved experience.
Phil, why don't you know, you're always telling people to spit it out.
I'll spit it out, okay?
The warm, the beloved.
Yeah, it sounds like a bowel movement.
Shut up.
Why does he have to do that?
I don't know, but I don't want to talk about it right now. Our final show on the Talk Radio Network will be on the 24th of June. And we're very much looking forward to providing for our fans a show that is going to expand. It's not going to change. We're going to bring back the phone call content, and we're going to expand the, if you will, the reach in terms of topic and in terms of content. We're going to take advantage of the opportunities that are being afforded audio artists, radio artists, whatever you want to call us, comics, to go places where no smartass has gone before.
That's
like on a Star Trek.
Yeah, that's why I...
That's why I did it, man. You did like a Star Trek?
Yes, bud. What is it with you, man? Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm just like...
I'm just trying to figure it out.
What's to figure out?
Well, you go where no man has gone before, and I go, is that Star Trek?
No, I didn't say that. I said where no smartass has gone before.
That's what James Kirk said.
No, James Kirk didn't say that. He said where no one has gone before. You see, the sexist attitude...
Can we just not talk about that right now?
Fine.
Where no one, no man, no smartass has gone before, that's where we're going with our radio show, our podcast, and all other related content as of the first week in July. July 1, we will kick off with a brand new two-hour. And we also are very, very grateful to the affiliates that we've had over the years. And to that end, we have had many affiliates express to us that they would like to remain with the Phil Hendry Show. So this is an option that I wasn't exactly planning for, but it isn't one that we are going to that we're going to reject. We appreciate the support of our affiliates that do want to come with us with our radio show. So we will have mainly a digital presence, but we will make the show available terrestrially to stations that have long wanted our show or have been with us and like having it and have had good audience response. We'll stay with you. Don't worry about it. But we're going to, as I said, what we're going to do is essentially sort of reinvigorate certain aspects of the show. And among them, there were the phone call bits that we did that I know people loved so much. I love doing them, you know, but you can only do what you can do, you know.
Well, are you going to get into some of the reasons?
No, I'm not going to get into any reasons. You can only do what you can do, and we did what we did, and we do what we did. I mean, we don't...
You do what you... Well, you do. Yes.
No, I don't do. We do what we do.
That's essentially what he's saying, though.
Yeah, you do.
I know. You don't say you do.
You do what you do.
Right. I'm not saying you do.
Come on, man. You don't have to get bogged down in this. You do.
Oh, okay. I won't get bogged down in it. I'll just say I do.
Yeah, that's the way to say it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to say it like that.
So you are getting bogged down.
No, I'm not getting bogged down. I'm the host of the show.
Oh, you're pulling the race card then, yeah.
No, that's not pulling the race card. What an idiot. The race card?
That's not pulling the race card. Well, it is sort of.
No, it ain't pulling the race card. Here's what I'm pulling. Rank.
Well.
Oh, you're doing the... You're a filthy little...
You said pulling it.
In any event, folks, so that's what we're going to be doing here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, proceeding as to in the first month of July. And as I said, for our affiliates, a family of affiliates that we've had down through the years, great and small, large and teeny, big and swollen and itsy-bitsy and just limp.
Do you mind?
Sorry. We do thank you, and we love you, and we just want to grab... I want to squeeze you. I want to grab your ass. Is that wrong to say?
Well, it's not a very loving... What do you mean, grab their ass? A radio station?
I'm saying figuratively, I love them and I want to... And if I had my arms around them, I would... They're not a real woman.
Well, what if they're a guy?
I wouldn't be squeezing their ass.
So is a radio station...
In my mind, is a woman. And...
Well, that's kind of rude to squeeze a lady's ass.
Yes, very rude.
Well, they're part of my family. They're one of my wives, if you will. So we love you and we appreciate you very much, all of the affiliates that we've had, to the point where, yes, figuratively, I would have my arms around you and I'd give your ass just a little bit of a, you know, kind of a horn honking squeeze, depending upon what kind of horn you have. Okay, Margaret, you know.
I got to use the toilet.
Yeah, go use the toilet. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Bizarre stories today. One of them, a sea monster washes on shore in New Zealand. That's right. That's right. We had the picture for our BSPs on Phil TV in HD. We also ran the little video clip. I couldn't hear the audio, but look at this thing. And you can follow along if you're not, if you don't have Phil TV. You can grab a hold of a picture, it's probably all over the place, of this thing that washed ashore on the beaches of New Zealand, and it is about as funky a looking thing as you've ever seen. And so humans being what they are, they thought it was a creature from the deep or some kind of a monster. And I think what we can do a little bit later on in the program, maybe not right away, is get maybe have Dr. Ron Tarner weigh in on it, because they're not sure what it is, although there are marine biologists and marine experts and oceanographers, although oceanography is not really marine life. Marine biologists.
What about like a marine zoo?
Yes, are there marine zookeepers?
Marine zookeepers? What is that?
Animals. Oh, get him, bud.
Yeah, it's animals that live in the water, God.
Yeah, I know about animals that live in the water. No, I haven't heard of a marine zookeeper.
Well, what do you call an aquarium?
An aquarium.
Well, yeah, but what's the guy that takes care of it?
It ain't a marine zookeeper. It's a marine biologist. So we're going to talk with some experts here. We come back, if you, Bud, will do your job and get him on the phone. But you look at this thing, and the opinion has been proffered. There's a cool word, huh? You know, I'm squeezing the station's ass.
Yes, you're squeezing the station's ass, and then you use a 50-cent word like that. If the station was a real woman, and you squeezed its ass and then pulled a word out like that, I think they'd think you're gay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, sure, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's... Thanks for that really solid thinking there, Margaret.
Well, you're the one with the whole I'd squeeze your ass.
In any event... You take a look at this creature, and I am given to believe that it is identifiable. Some people think it's a killer whale. And what happens is any animal, any human for that matter, in the state of decomposition and decay, there is shrinking, literally, in the actual volume, the size of the creature. So it doesn't look like a whale because there's been dehydration, there's been shrinking and decay, and just the decomposition of this creature causes all of these tissues to shrink and kind of make the entire animal seem smaller, and it will begin to show a much more sharp and striking profile. Whales, we're so used to seeing whales with those big jowls, you know, as they go swimming through the water. They look like they got this big head and big jowls. But once the animal... is beginning to decompose, it looks a little bit more like it's got a needle-nose beak on it. In fact, I've heard whales referred to as creatures that have sort of beak-like jaws. And looking at this...
How do you know it's not a shark or something? Yeah, right there. That's what I'm thinking too, man. That's a shark.
Why do you think it's a shark?
Well, look at the teeth.
Yeah, and the killer whales have teeth too, you know?
Yeah, I know, but look at how... Are you trying to tell me that's a whale? That'll look like a shark to me. That thing will eat you up.
Yeah, and sharks don't eat people, man.
What?
They don't eat people. They bite into us to see if we're something they want to eat, and they don't.
Well, why don't they figure it out?
What do you mean, why don't they figure it out? What does that mean, why don't they figure it out?
Phil, relax. My God.
Yeah, we're asking, how come they haven't figured it out yet?
It ain't like a whale passes information on to the little whales, and they go to whale school. Oh, and by the way, this creature here, that's a human. Don't ever bite that one, because it tastes like homemade dung, okay? They don't do that.
But the mothers, when they are nursing the young...
What do you think happens in the whale world? That with the mother's milk comes all this information? And not whales, but what are we talking about?
We're talking about sharks.
Yeah.
Sharks, yeah. Do you think the sharks pass this along to the tiny sharks? Sharks don't even give a damn about their kids. Whales love their children. Sea lions love their children because they're mammals. Sharks, they could give a damn. Sharks' kids, no wonder sharks have kids that go out and murder and commit mayhem and butcher people up because they got no parenting. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com, your digital home for all that is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Get a backstage pass. When we come back, we'll tell you all about May being customer appreciation month.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil, by the way, Al Pacino news, he has quit Despicable Me 2 in the middle of the recording of that animated film. He is, of course, famous for playing the bad guy, even when he's the good guy. I don't know what that means. I don't think that that's quite true. He has played bad guys, and he's played good guys, but in any event, he's still kind of the bad guy. He yells a lot. He makes crazy eyes. See, it's sad for people to just, all of a sudden, Al Pacino's this guy that yells a lot.
Well, Al does a lot of yelling, yes.
I remember him in Heat going, "She's got a great ass!"
Yes, that was him yelling.
He was yelling at Hank Azaria.
He's yelling at a guy that Hank Azaria was playing.
Yeah, he's yelling at the character.
Yes, I know. Thank you. So anyway, he makes crazy eyes. His hair always looks like he's been awake for 37 hours on an anger binge. He is gravel-voiced and intimidating, so he was the perfect choice to play a villain in a children's movie. Unfortunately, he's reportedly dropped out due to creative differences with the producers of Despicable Me 2, the highly anticipated sequel to the Steve Carell-led animated feature. What's most unfortunate is that he was halfway through the recording of his part, meaning the producers were left in the lurch. They issued a statement over the production of Despicable Me 2. There were creative differences between us and Al Pacino, who had been cast as the voice of Eduardo in the film. We have mutually decided with Al to replace the voice of Eduardo with a new actor. Universal and Illumination thank Al for his many contributions to the process, and we love you and need you. So there he goes.
Well, Al Pacino is acting royalty, and I think whoever these producers are need to take that into account, because Al Pacino, with the snap of his fingers, could have all of them eating out of a garbage can in the morning. And I'm not kidding.
I don't think that Al Pacino would do that.
And how do you know?
I don't. But more to the point, I don't think that Al Pacino, as great as he is, and he's one of the most revered of all American actors, maybe one of the most revered actors on the English-speaking stage in history, I don't think Al Pacino, with great respect, has that kind of juice anymore.
My God, so you're turning on him.
No, I'm just saying, Al Pacino's not going to call up a student. You know what I want him to close this, to close it down and yell it? Is that what you're saying? To just yell it?
Do that again.
I want you to close it down.
That sounds a little bit like him.
Yeah, it's not bad, Mr. Henry. Here's the Al Pacino impression that you want to do, okay?
Yeah, do yours, bud. It's really good. Listen to this, Phil.
Yeah. She's got a great ass! Or, wait a minute.
Yeah, that sucked, you know.
Well, now hold on. Because she's got a great ass!
You sound like someone who got it caught in one of those old-fashioned squeegees, you know?
What?
Like you feed the shirt. I can't go into it.
Oh, God.
Well?
Bud, just leave your Al Pacino impressions at the door, and let's get moving on with this show, because we do have with us on the line Dr. Jack Kepler, and Dr. Kepler is at UCLA, and he's going to talk to us about this creature that washed up on the shore of this New Zealand beach, washed up on the shore of New Zealand at this beach in, is that New Zealand, the Bay of Plenty, Dr. Kepler?
The Bay of Plenty is one of the areas that's known for the this kind of life, marine life. When you're talking about a killer whale, the Bay of Plenty is where the killer whale has spawned over time. And there's no doubt in my mind, I agree with the analysis done by, I think it was the doctor there from the Marine Institute in New Zealand. There's no doubt in my mind that it is, in fact, a killer whale or whatever the homo cetacean species.
And you say that, why?
You can't identify the animal by the, I think you heard one of you or the one of the other, the host or whoever I'm talking to, said the contour of the jaw.
Yes, that was me.
Okay, yeah, the contour of the jaw is the tip off, the size of the teeth, the tip off. It's got sort of a big body mass. You can take the length of the animal and divide that by the circumference. You're going to get a pretty good eyeball of what it is.
Dr. Kepler, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes.
Tell me, these animals, this is a killer whale, and obviously this is an animal that is a meat eater. It is a killer. How do you think this thing died? And I want you to comment on something I've heard people saying, that whales beach themselves. This is a prelude to some sort of evolutionary step, that these animals are looking to become land creatures again.
Well, I've heard the theory that it was put forth along those lines. The whale is going to eventually become a land animal again. The whale at one time was a land animal. We feel the whale is, given the fossilized remains we found, that whales had appendages that were very much for locomotion on dry land, much like the sea lions.
And sea lions were on dry land, too, at one time.
I'm answering a lady's question. If you could just give me a moment. And is you're the host of the show?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
And you're what? You're Pam?
Yes, I'm Margaret Gray.
All right. The whale, it was an animal that had a leg, and it would walk on one leg. Not one leg. I'm so sorry. I'm so very sorry.
No, that's all right.
The whale had two legs, and it pulled itself along, and then finally got tired of that, just went into the water. And those are the things that cause evolution.
All right. You're saying...
Hold on. I'm still talking to the lady. I'll be with you in a minute. So those are things that cause evolution, you know.
Yes, so but you said the whale was pulling itself along.
Yeah, as far as we know, the whale had, when it was a land animal, you see.
Yeah, is it a land animal, doctor, how long it was just pulling itself on two legs?
Yes, it had two legs and just decided it got, if you can imagine pulling yourself along, if you had no legs, you just had two arms, and you're laying on the ground and you're pulling yourself, you're going to go, well, I don't want to do this anymore. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to go back in the water, you know.
Well, it would be a lot easier.
I would think so.
Yeah, what's your name again?
I'm the host of the show, Doctor, okay? And I'm the guy that gets to say what he wants to say when he wants to say it.
I understand that. I just was trying to answer the lady's question.
Well, all right, and I think you've answered it.
I'm very sorry. What's your question?
Well, now, I don't have a question, because...
All right, well, if you allow me to finish.
Well, it's because, you know, somebody asked the question that I was going
to
ask.
I mean, if you don't mind, you know, I'd like to answer the lady. The lady asked me, did the animal get tired?
Well, I wanted to ask about that, too.
Well, take your place in line, because she...
Bill, I asked it first. I don't,
Yeah, but I grow up and act like a... be more of a kid and quit being... Being an adult, I mean, be more of an adult and quit being more of a kid, you know?
I who are you, sir?
I'm Bud Dickman.
If you're all going to fight about it, just wanted to tell you...
Hold on, I'm the host of the show.
You're the host of the show, and this Dickman. All I'm saying is, if you have a question, I'd like you all to write it down, and I'll get to it, all right?
All right, let me write my question down.
In the meantime, I'm going to answer this lady's question. The whale was pulling itself along one day and said, there's got to be a better way. And another whale said, no, there isn't. And the whale said, well, how do you know? You're just a whale. He said, well, I mean, do you see anybody else around here who's going to tell us? He said, right over there, ocean. I go in there, I get to swim. So that's done, you know.
Hey, by the way, I've written my question down.
Okay. So want to tell me what it is?
Well, why would I write it down?
So you can remember what it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, hold on for a minute. I'm still answering this lady.
Doc, put him on hold. What's going on with this guy? Is he freaking brain dead or is he senile?
I don't know. I told the guy was gone.
The guy works in an ocean place.
Well, what does that mean, in an ocean place?
Yeah, that could mean he's got a saltwater swimming pool. Are you kidding me? That was pretty good.
No, it wasn't. No. What's going on with this guy?
I don't know. I had some questions about a whale.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here with Dr. Jack Kepler from UCLA, a marine biologist, who is explaining to us this thing that washed up on the shore there in New Zealand in the Bay of Plenty. We know that this is a place where whales have spawned or do spawn. This time of year in the... I think this time of year is the fall. It is the fall months. Am I right about that? Yeah, it's the fall months of in New Zealand and in Australia. I don't know what that means, though.
Yeah, why did you bring that up? So what? They only have babies in...
Yeah, like October?
No, this would be May, bud. God. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You wouldn't mean May. This is May, and you said fall.
The fall is in May, Phil, in New Zealand.
Well, that's not entirely correct, because I did a piece.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Right there.
Islanders pull even with Pegmans, yeah.
So that's probably, in terms of the environment...
That's not a story about the environment. That's a hockey game.
What a jackball, man.
No, no, it says penguin.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
What are you jackasses arguing about now?
He thinks this is something about the Islanders pull even with penguins.
Yeah, it's about the people who live on an island.
No, you moron. The Islanders are the New York Islanders, a hockey team.
Oh.
Man, you know about hockey?
Nobody in America likes hockey.
Oh, okay. Well, you tell the people in, you know, like Pittsburgh and New York.
Well, not, well, yeah, okay, there, but I mean the regular America.
How dare, I will not sit still for that.
Hold on for a minute. What do you mean regular America?
You know, we're right, not places like that.
So in other words, any place that likes hockey is not regular America.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. And you're putting, you're stuffing it in my mouth. You know,
he's stuffing it in his mouth.
What do you mean stuffing it in your mouth?
Well, what are you doing to him?
I'm not doing anything. He said I'm stuffing it in it. What do you mean?
You know, you're putting a word in there.
No, I'm not putting words in your, if that's what you mean, words in your mouth.
I don't know. No.
Hey, bud, do you want me to smack you so hard you start to cry?
There's no word in my mouth.
I'm not trying to put words into your mouth. That's the phrase. Don't put words in my mouth. You don't say, quit trying to stuff it in my mouth.
I notice how you laugh at the filthiest things.
It is pretty funny, though.
It is. I got it. But all I'm trying to tell you is the New York Islanders are a hockey team. The Pittsburgh Penguins are a hockey team. They're playing a hockey game, dude. It's got nothing to do with people living on an island dealing with penguins. Okay? Maybe someday we will see a story that says Islanders... are pulling even with penguins.
Why would it say that?
I don't know. Maybe the penguins are eating up the food supply and the Islanders are finally growing their own, and so the Islanders pull even with the penguins in terms of food supply. Have you thought about that?
That's asinine.
Yeah, I don't tell you, that sounds way out there.
Yeah, that sounds way out there, man. But when I say it's a hockey game between the Islanders and the Penguins, you cats don't get it either, so where do you want me to go with this? Anyway, we are in the air here with Jack Kepler. Dr. Kepler is a marine biologist from UCLA. Now, Dr. Kepler, you had a chart you wanted me to show people?
Well, that's right. We put up a chart there, Phil.
All right, now we're looking right here, folks, on Phil TV, a chart of whales.
The top whale is a blue whale. 90 foot long is a blue whale.
That's a very big whale, isn't it, Doctor?
It's a very big whale, and it's getting bigger. We think it's getting larger and larger as the years pass. We feel the blue whale at some point is going to surpass the length of most any yacht. I don't know how big yachts are. Do they give them a big ship and thing like that?
Well, I mean, you mean a yacht or just a ship?
What are the big yachts that people take on a cruise?
Those are cruise ships. Those are not yachts.
All right, well, okay, that's right. I had a friend of mine who was Bob, the guy that invented the bobblehead doll. He had a big yacht that looked like a cruise ship. In any event, these animals are getting bigger every year. Some of them are going to get so big you can't think of it without losing your mind. And that's what we're worried about in marine biology.
Well, what do you mean can't think about it without losing your mind?
Well, the size of the animal alone boggles the imagination, and the mind comes apart. Your mind comes apart, and we don't want it. Now, underneath that, Phil and Dickman and whoever, and the lady there, Ms.
Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray. Underneath that is called a robot. I got to get my glasses. I think it's called a robot whale. No, it's a finback. That's right.
What do you mean robot?
Is that someone talking again?
He asked, what do you mean robot?
I misread. It's Finback.
But is there a robot whale?
Not that I know of, no.
Then why would you say that?
Because that's what I thought it said. I didn't have my glasses on. In other words, I thought maybe they'd invented or not invented, but they found a robot. They got a robot whale in custody. I used to be a police officer, so I gave up the police department to work in oceanography.
So you're using a lot of the same terms.
Yeah, I am, and I apologize for that. So the whale was arrested. The whale was put into the zoo, and I thought it was a robot, and it was in fact a real whale, and that's why it's called a finback and not a robot whale. If they ever do find a whale that is only mechanical.
Well, what is a whale? You know, Doctor, this is beginning to get a little weird. You know what I mean? It's getting weird, Doctor. What's the likelihood they're going to find a robot whale?
Mr. Henry?
Yes?
Hi, this is Denise Kepler. I'm Dr. Kepler's daughter.
How are you, dear?
I'm fine. My father's tired now, and we're going to put him to bed. I'm awfully sorry.
Okay, I didn't know that forgive me. Where is he? Is he at your home?
No, he's at the senior center. He's been here we've had him here for about 6 months. He's very lucid, and there are times when he is not so, and that's what's happening right now. I'm so sorry that you didn't get a chance. And if you want me to, doctor, my father, I call him doctor.
No, please don't. Did he fall asleep?
He did. Your last question, probably. Dad, hey, Dad.
Yeah, that's, get away from me, huh?
Hold on, he's talking in his sleep. Daddy, honey, it's Denise, Daddy.
Hey. Yeah, hey.
Oh, he's having a nightmare.
Well, don't disturb him, okay?
Well, I might have to wake him up because he does take a pill here in the middle of the night.
Where are you?
Well, we're in the cafeteria, and he's dead out. My husband's going to come over here. Darren, honey. Darren, get a fork or something. Uh-huh. Daddy?
He sounds like he's out.
Yeah, Daddy, he sounds like he's sleeping. Well, you want to bother him?
I have to give him this mess. Daddy?
Get away. No, get it off of me.
He's having a dream again about the jellyfish. My father was part of an expedition that had been off the coast of South America. This was around 1961, when their craft was attacked by what at that time was thought to be a mutated squid. I don't know if you read the news article.
No, I did not.
Well, the squid was very, very mutated to the size of one of the tentacles reached well over 300 feet.
Oh, my God!
What are you talking about?
Ma'am, I'm sure you heard of the SS Dorsal. Did you hear of the Dorsal? It was an oceanographic vessel?
No, ma'am, I didn't.
It was attacked by a squid. My father was the only survivor. All the other men and women on board, all hands lost.
My God, that's horrible. Are you telling me this is like out of a science fiction movie?
It really is. And my father, every now and again, watch this. Daddy. They're having calamari for lunch.
Hey!
Don't do that to him!
Why would you do that?
Oh, come on. He's all right. He's my daddy, and I would never hurt my daddy. But we, every now and again, when people come over and he falls asleep, if people come to visit the famous Dr. Kepler and he's not awake, what do you expect?
Don't torture the man! You're bringing all these subconscious thoughts of his coming up. I mean, my God, I didn't even know about that. I've seen science fiction movies.
Well, they're based on, a lot of them are based on the SS Dorsal, the oceanographic. It was a scientific vessel out of Miami, and all hands lost. This is October 6th of 1961.
Well, that is about as horrible a thing as I've ever heard. A gigantic squid.
A gigantic octopi, or octopoon, or squid.
Now, what is an octopoon?
That's the plural of squid.
I thought the plural of squid was squee.
Yeah, was that squee?
No, squy is what you mean.
How about squids? Just an S on the end? Hello?
Yeah. So anyway,
Yeah, just take it easy, Phil. Yeah, I thought it was squy.
Yeah, no, it's squee, a plural, but it's also octopoon. Watch this. This is a good one here. Daddy, it's an octopus off the forward bow.
Hey, get out! Yeah!
How about that?
What do you mean off the forward bow? What other kind of bow is there? All right, while you torture your father, do you mind if I take a break?
What do you need to do, pinch one off?
You know something, Ms. Kepler? You are not representing your family very well at all. Your father, who has been most gracious with us, the poor man is elderly, he's fallen asleep.
Tell me something I don't know, Mr. Henry. I'm his daughter.
Okay, and you're sitting there torturing him.
I'm not sitting here, I'm standing over him. Sitting there, it bothers me. It burns when people say things like that are grammatically incorrect. It burns almost as if I've got, you know, well.
Did you have chlamydia at one time? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I know that.
That's great. That's just great. All right.
Don't get on your. Oh wait, my father's waking up. Daddy, hi. The radio.
Then that's what the killer whale will do if you don't if you plug it in.
Okay, Dr. Kepler, thank you very much. That was very informative.
Oh, you're most welcome. And any time you want to come over.
And you're over there at the senior center. Maybe we can have lunch.
Oh yeah, oh sure. They have a cookie. They have a cookie on Tuesday. They give you a cookie. And we had Jell-O. When we had the Jell-O thing.
Darren, when did they have Jell-O?
GD time. Now they have Jell-O too.
Well, that's great. Can I come over and have Jell-O with you?
Yes. I mean, don't you have anything better to do? Come over and eat Jell-O with me?
My father is so sarcastic. Daddy, don't do that. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's my daughter. I thought it was. I squeezed my own daughter's ass. I'm sorry, darling.
Well, that's all right. You don't recognize. No. Anyway, Mr. Henry, we thank you, and I'm so sorry that my father couldn't stay awake. Daddy, say goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
Daddy, say goodbye. The octopus is attacking.
Yeah. Ah, Eddie! Eddie! Eddie's dead.
You know what? You're sadistic, and I don't want to have anything more to do with you, okay? And my regards to the good doctor, and I hope he survives his stay there at the home.
Oh, what a pain in the ass.
Phil, you were a little bit judgmental.
Don't give me judgmental. Did you hear her? She's Daddy, the octopus is attacking.
Yeah, but a giant octopi.
And will you knock it off with octopi? The plural of octopus, well, it is octopi, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, octopi. But it ain't octopoon, which is what she was saying.
That was plural of squid.
Yeah, that's the plural of squid.
Well, the plural of squid is squids. Not octopoon.
You just don't like the term octopoon because it brings up, well, memories of a happier time.
We'll be right back, folks. 877-876-PHIL. Does it now?
I would think it would.
We'll be right back, and we've got more to tell you about not only this gigantic, freaking, ugly-ass thing. Leonard Nimoy is in a very famous commercial. Megyn Kelly of Fox News is in the news. And more on those three young ladies that were discovered having been abducted for so many years in Cleveland. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, get it away. I don't want calamari, no.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We thank Dr. Kepler for joining us and for regaling us as he did on the topic of cetaceans, killer whales, and so forth. Now, before we move forward with anything else on the program, I do want to mention that a reigning legend in motion pictures, someone whose work we're all familiar with, even if we don't know the name, has passed on, Ray Harryhausen, who was the visual effects guy behind such films as, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, when you saw that...
The Medusa, yes.
Yeah, the Medusa and the Kraken, and he was also, I think that was the Kraken was in Jason and the Argonauts.
What's the Kraken?
It's like a big creature.
Yeah, but doesn't that have anything to do with a Kraken?
It ain't about crack cocaine. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
No. It was a mythic creature from Greek lore, and Ray Harryhausen, 92 years of age, he died Tuesday in London. It was announced on the Facebook page that the foundation, Ray and Diana Harryhausen Foundation, runs. But Ray Harryhausen, I don't know that there's an area of film he didn't influence. And, of course, George Lucas weighed in on the passing of Ray Harryhausen. He said, Ray has been a great inspiration to us all in special visual effects. The art of his earlier films, which most of us grew up on, inspired us so much. Without Ray Harryhausen, there would likely have never been a Star Wars. No question about that. The first time I saw one of his movies was Earth versus the Flying Saucers. I got to tell you, I was probably about 9 years old. This thing came on TV. And it was the most amazing movie I'd ever seen. I had never seen anything like it. I mean, I'd seen King Kong, but I hadn't seen a modern contemporary look at what it would look like if flying saucers attacked Washington. Because what he did was he built models of the Capitol building, he built models of the Washington Monument, and he had these flying saucers crashing into them. And it was very realistic for a 9-year-old kid to see this. I don't know exactly how it affected adults, but I think everybody saw it as that kind of animation was just amazing. He also did a film called 20 Million Miles to Earth.
That's the one with a creature. I didn't think that was that good.
Well, Bud, in the context of the time, it was damn good. 20 Million Miles to Earth.
Was that the one with the Italians?
Yeah, it was a spaceship that lands. It's actually an Earth ship.
No, it ain't. It comes from Venus.
It's an Earth ship that comes from... Am I going to start to have to hassle this?
Phil, if you know how to handle people, you know, this is a panel show. So you have to be the moderator. I don't hear other moderators going, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't shut up.
Maybe they ought to. Maybe it'd be more entertaining, you know.
I don't think Sean Hannity needs advice from you. Thank you very much. And I don't hear Sean Hannity saying, would you shut up before I belt you?
Like I said, I stick by my original statement. His show might be better if he did that.
Yeah, sure, Sean Hannity, he'd probably get his ass kicked.
Maybe. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm just saying, do you mind if I just say what I want to say here, Bud? First of all, 20 Million Miles to Earth was about an Earth ship that visits Venus and picks up some creature by mistake.
What, is it like a cab?
That's a cab!
No, it ain't a cab.
What do you mean picked it up?
The creature got on board somehow.
Yes, I remember. It was a very small creature. By the time it got to Earth, it was huge.
Yeah, by the time it got to Earth, it was big enough to kill a couple of the... I think it might have killed the entire crew. And a very famous still from 20 Million Miles to Earth, if you've seen it, shows the spaceship, the Earth ship, nose first into the Aegean Sea or one of the seas near, you know, around Italy.
Well, that could be the Aegean. It could be the Mediterranean.
Whatever, okay?
Sorry.
So you see the ass end of this thing sticking out of the water, and that was 20 Million Miles to Earth. But Ray Harryhausen, did the special effects there, and it was mostly this creature that grew from being about the size of a little tiny bird, it was literally in a bird cage, to this enormous thing that was, you know, towering over everyone and you know, creating the mayhem that giant monsters create that we love for them to create. And so that was I thought that was a great movie. But Earth versus the Flying Saucers was something else, man. You know?
I thought the only thing wrong with Earth versus the Flying Saucers was when the general got an X-ray beam and you could see the inside of his head. I thought that was cheap.
That's not Ray Harryhausen, though.
Didn't you say he did the visual effects?
Oh, yeah. I remember all you could see was, like, just the skull. It looked dumb.
That wasn't Ray Harryhausen. Well, maybe it was Ray Harryhausen because there was a part of that film where... You literally were looking. It wasn't an X-ray?
No, it was not an X-ray. It was as if they took a piece of his head away, and inside...
was nothing.
I'm going to kick your...
Hey! Watch it.
I swear to God, keep him away from me. Was inside was his brain, which if they opened up your skull, Bud, and by the way, I'd be happy to do the honors, they would find nothing.
Then they wouldn't find nothing.
That's exactly what I just said.
No, you didn't.
All right, just So 20 Million Miles to Earth was another one. In 1992, the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences presented Harryhausen with an honorary Oscar, a tribute to his visual magic. He was presented with the Gordon E. Sawyer Award, an Oscar statuette given to an individual whose technological contributions have brought credit to the industry. We weren't able to give it to you for any single movie, Mr. Harryhausen, because, of course, we don't want to give an Academy Award to a real piece of schlock like Earth versus the Flying Saucers, even if the best part of that movie were your special effects, but we'll just give you one for all your movies.
So that's what you think Hollywood thinks of Ray Harryhausen?
I think Hollywood could very easily give out, they could have given Ray Harryhausen an Academy Award. But in those days, the science fiction movie was not respected the way that it is today. The science fiction and the horror films in those days, I don't think, had the respect of the so-called elite of Hollywood. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We will update you on the story of those three women found alive in Cleveland. The Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Ray Harryhausen. Was the name of him? Ray Harryhausen. Don't mess with his name. I didn't name the guy.
Phil Hendry.